What's going on, y'all? It's your girl, Mary B. Welcome to my podcast, Something's Gotta Give, and I got some things to say. I've been working on some serious mommy issues, and I know I'm not the only one. When a child is born, it is innate for them to create a bond with a parent, and typically that parent is the mother. Now, the main topic of conversation when it comes to mommy issues is attachment styles. Now, if you're not aware, there are three different forms of attachment styles. There's anxious, avoidant, and secure. Now, many of us, unfortunately, don't have a secure attachment style due to the relationship that we had with our parents. Because if your parent didn't take the time to work on their mental health, that's going to have a direct impact on you. So most of us have an anxious or avoidant style depending on the relationship that you created with your parent, typically your mother. Now, mommy issues can look like a bunch of different things, too. You can have trust issues, enormous independence, being a tomboy, not having female friends, being detached, having discomfort in intimacy, being demanding or critical, feelings of inadequacy, and the list goes on. I have had my fair share of parents. Now, there are four women who have had a direct impact on my life. And each of them, unfortunately, have left some type of issue that I now am taking the liberty to unlearn what was subconsciously or consciously passed on to me and reparent myself so that I can be the woman that I desire to be, that little Mary has always wanted to be, you know. But if we don't take the time to address these issues and put in the effort to be what you wanted to be when you were a child, you know, you are just going to blindly become where you come from. My mother, Leah Boucher, is an immigrant from Brazil. She ended up marrying my father in Massachusetts, and they moved to California where I was created. But I guess they weren't too happy in California, so they ended up moving to like the state line of Nevada, and that was about 20-30 minutes away from Las Vegas. And so that's why my birth city is Las Vegas. My mother started to become not mentally well throughout the pregnancy with me. Well, that's what my father says. And she ended up losing her job, and the job that she had wrongfully terminated her because she was pregnant. So my mother opened up a court case trying to sue them, but she didn't go about this in the right way. Mind you, she's an immigrant and never really took the time to learn American culture. So I guess that's why she didn't handle the court case the way it was supposed to be handled. But that started a lot of friction between my parents. So they decided to get a divorce after 2 years of being together and her decline of getting pregnant with me and losing her job and whatever else was going on in that point in time. So my mom took me out of the country without my father's permission, and she took me to her homeland in Brazil, where I stayed with her brother and his wife, or so I believe. I don't have contact with my mother, and I haven't been able to really communicate with my family in Brazil after we got reconnected, because I am no longer fluent in Portuguese, even though Portuguese was my first language. When I was in Brazil, I experienced sexual assaults. My mother left me with random strangers, so I was experiencing abandonment, neglect, and that is a horrible introduction to life. Like I mentioned in the first podcast, the foundations of your life are created within the first 5 years. And within the first 5 years, I'm having not the greatest experiences. And I'm praying, wishing, dreaming every single night that one of my parents would just come back and rescue me. Because I remember my mother telling me that I was only going to be in Brazil for about 6 months, and those 6 months ended up being over 2 years. Portuguese wasn't supposed to be my first language, but it ended up being my first language. I wasn't supposed to start school there, but I ended up starting school there. I remember my mom would, you know, call frequently to, not frequently, let's be real. My mother was very, very poor, and calling out of the country was very expensive. So my mother tried her best to check in when she could. And so I remember having like a phone call with her when I was actually able to talk, and she was so surprised, but like a happy surprise that I was finally, like I was speaking, you know. But any normal parent would like to be there for their child's first words, you know? And this was happening over the phone, and none of these words that I learned came from her. My mother was not showing me a good relationship. Not at all. And so she did end up coming back after 2.5 years. And I remember being like so over the moon that my mom came back to get me. But let's be real, I was just waiting to be rescued because the life that I was experiencing at that age in a country that is not economically the greatest, especially from where my family comes from. If you're not aware of what the favelas are, it is the world's worst ghettos. And that is where my mother's side of the family comes from. Now, my aunt and uncle, who I was staying with, did not live in the favelas, but we would visit the favelas often because that's where our family came from. And so I probably was witnessing guns being held, drug transactions, a lot of curse words, a lot of just inappropriate behavior that a child under 5 should not be witnessing. But that's what I was witnessing. And my mother didn't have control over that, right? Because she was absent. So I was just waiting to be rescued. She finally came back to get me, and she brought me back to the States. Luckily, when she brought me back, we went to Framingham, Massachusetts. Framingham has the biggest Brazilian, like the largest Brazilian population per capita in the United States. So when I came back to the States, fortunately enough, I was able to go to a kindergarten where the school was bilingual. So I was able to learn English throughout that time. Now, I'm around 5 years old and I'm learning my second language. But not in like the best circumstances, not in like a healthy way, like, you know, trying to expand your brain type of way. And this is survival. I need to now learn how to speak English because this is the country that I'm in. And my mother wasn't the most fluent in English, so it was very, very important for me to be able to decipher my life. I have been like my own guardian essentially since birth. After I did kindergarten in Brazil, my mother took us back to Las Vegas. I did first, second, and third grade in Las Vegas. And throughout our time in Vegas, my father was in and out of my life. I didn't quite understand why my father was in and out of my life. I would later learn the truth when I was 16, that my father was a drug and alcohol addict, and he hid that from me his whole entire life until he became clean and we were able to, you know, be reunited when I was 16. But hence his addiction was why he was so in and out of my mother's life. Now, my mother introduced to me instability in a romantic relationship and financial dependency on a man. Because if my father wasn't around, we for sure ended up being evicted from whatever apartment we were at. We would end up homeless. We would end up living in a car or staying in shelters. And this would be for periods of time. I'm talking months at a time. And so I quickly became addicted. I don't know what the word is. I would be very high strung waiting for the moments where my father would come back around, because when my father would come back around, he would get us out of the shelters. He would get us out of poverty, put us in an apartment, provide, you know, we would have groceries consistently. We would have a car to get around in. My father did a really good job of taking care of us. But because he was dealing with his own demons, those demons would arise because his relationship with my mother wasn't good. It wasn't stable. He honestly was coming back and dealing with my mother because that was the only way he was allowed to see me, because my mother would manipulate him, saying that he wouldn't be allowed to have a relationship with me unless he had a relationship with her. Now, fast forward in my adulthood, I never understood why I was in an on and off relationship for 4 years recently. I was like, yo, I grew up being disgusted at people who were so on and off. Like, make up your mind. Do you want the man or not? Do you want the lady or not? Like, why do you keep going back and forth? Until I became the person that started going back and forth with a person. I understand. I subconsciously was taught that that's what a relationship is like. That when you love someone, you allow them to treat you any old kind of way and to go back and forth, just as long as the man is providing. That's what I was taught. And so now in my dating life, I often get very attached to men who have some type of success financially, because little me was taught that that's the only way I could survive. Is if I have a romantic partner that has his head on straight, that can provide me security, right? Because my mother could never keep a job. She never kept a job longer than 3 months, as far as I could remember. Life with my mother was horrible. I experienced homeless shelters. And in those homeless shelters, I saw the worst of the worst things. I saw people having seizures. I remember people so young, the age of 16, 15, having babies, being pregnant. There was this girl I used to look up to who was in her teens, and she was very intimate with this boy, and she would walk around with hickeys around her neck. And I remember in middle school, I allowed this boy to put hickeys all over my neck because I thought that was cool. How would I have known better? That's what I was witnessing growing up. And I remember going to middle school and my teacher ridiculing me, saying, that's not cute. Now I'm confused. Because now you're telling me what I'm doing is wrong, but I literally did not know any better. I did not know any better. And now it's my job to not only like learn how to stay put at a job, to learn how to build security in one place, to learn how to build security within myself, to trust that I am everything that I'll ever need in this life. I'll never have to depend on a partner to provide a house for me, to put food on the table, ever. But unfortunately, these were the introductions to my life. My birth mother showed me the darkest crevices this world has to offer. And I struggle with how I should respond to her. I will say I have made the decision to no longer be in contact with my mother. When I got back in contact with my father when I was 16, and we were living in Framingham. My mother was in Framingham at the time, and I gave her two chances to be back in my life. But I told her, if you're not going to allow us to help you get your mental health right, whatever that looks like, I refuse to be in your life because you have robbed me of my entire childhood. I will not allow you to rob me of any more time that I have. So unfortunately, she didn't want the help. She couldn't accept the help because her mental has gotten, you know, worse over the years. I can no longer speak to my mother. But I struggle because part of me is like, did you know any better? But I, some way, somehow, I'm like, there's just no way in the world you thought what you were doing for me was the best. But maybe she was doing the best that she could. You know, she comes from Brazil. She was the only one out of her family that got out of the favelas, that made something different, that created something different, that moved to the United States to chase that American dream. Regardless of thinking about her, the truth is she has had an extremely negative impact in my adulthood and my journey of becoming a woman. And that is just the truth. And I am angry as fuck about it. I am angry as fuck. And I know I won't always be angry, but it has not helped me in healing, suppressing the truth of what my mother did to me, of the life that I experienced, of the life that she opened me up to. That's the truth. And the only way to get through this is to heal, to feel it. I have got to feel and to remember all of those things that she brought forth to my attention. That's what my birth mother introduced me to. Now, when I was in foster care, there was a woman that I lived with for a year. Her name is Brenda. When I was with Brenda, I learned that she had a son, but he recently just went out to college, and she was a very lonely woman. I think she was just looking for a paycheck and for some company. I don't think a lot of times foster parents know what they're getting into when they sign up to be a foster parent. Or maybe they do, and all they do it for is the money. Because although she was getting paid, I didn't really have much clothes to wear. Growing up, my mother would perm my hair. Now, I have no idea why my birth mother started putting perms in my hair. As you see now, I clearly have curly hair that I had to self-discover. Because when I moved in with my father, looking at a Caucasian man, I was like, there's no way that my mother is Afro-Latina and my father is red hair, blue eyes, freckles everywhere, and I need to have perms in my hair. So another point of self-discovery that I had to do, I had to trust within me to find out about myself. Now, living with this woman, Brenda, she never took care of my hair. So the whole time that I was in fourth grade, I was walking around looking fucking crazy in an affluent white county, Fairfax, Virginia. That's where I went to elementary school. The neighborhood that I lived in was the first time I was ever introduced to suburban America. All these kids have everything that they've ever wanted, and I have a lot going on emotionally. I'm in foster care. I don't know if I'm going to go back with my parents. Not to mention, I don't know how to do my fucking hair, and the black woman that I live with neglected to take care of that. She also neglected to teach me about hygiene. Now, this is the second woman that I've been introduced to, and not any of them have introduced to me the importance of hygiene as a woman. Cleanliness is next to godliness. But I was depressed in the fourth grade. This was the first time in my life where I'm having suicidal thoughts, right? Showering is the last thing on my mind. I would go 3-4 days without taking a shower. It was normal for me to shower every 2 days. I didn't want to be around water. Do you blame me? I didn't know what the importance of hygiene was. I didn't know that not showering created smells. Brenda, that my foster mother, would just tell me, oh my gosh, Mary, you stink. You should get in the shower. She never properly taught me how to bathe. No one did. I still at this age didn't know what a menstrual cycle was. That comes later on in life. I was never taught how to properly take care of myself. I didn't know what type of brush to use, what type of comb to use, what type of products to use in my hair, what type of soaps to use with me, with, you know, on my body. I didn't know how to moisturize myself. I didn't know about skincare. I didn't know jack shit. And I'm going to public school around everyone around me, being bullied because of the negligence that came from these mothers. Now, the next mother is my adoptive mother. She did kind of get me on track when it came to appearance. She started perming my hairs again, so I started getting perms again, and she would try her best to do my hair, and it was important that I showered, but she didn't teach me how to properly bathe. So I'm going to be honest, in the fifth grade, I'm getting older. Smells are becoming more noticeable. I used to get bullied for smelling fishy. I didn't know what the fuck being fishy meant. It's through my bullying that I learned how to properly wash my vagina. Through bullying, through kids being mean to me because I didn't know any better, I was put in a place of shame. Then I learned how to properly wash my body. My adoptive mother couldn't have kids because she was raped so much throughout her childhood. Hence why she had to adopt. She went through a marriage where the man physically and emotionally beat on her. So she would wear these turbans around her head to disguise her balding due to her ex-husband pulling on her hair, dragging her around the house so frequently. This is a very damaged woman. The foster care system has allowed to take custody of me. This woman lied through her teeth throughout her application process. You're not supposed to be working two jobs. You're not supposed to have a boyfriend throughout the adoption process. And if you are in a serious relationship, that person too is supposed to be interviewed because that person is also going to be a parent, right? She was dating a man named Richard who is a raging alcoholic. He smoked packs of Black and Milds throughout the day. He couldn't keep a job. Does this sound familiar? Sounds like my birth mother, right? It's just that she knows how to keep a job. She actually overworks herself. So not only did she work two jobs, from time to time, she would get a third job. Lord knows how much money she would have in her savings, but she wouldn't spend a dime. She was frugal to the point where it didn't make sense. We were the family that didn't have McDonald's money. When I got to the age of 16 and I was able to start working, I remember one day we were driving home. I'm on my period. I'm asking her if we can stop at CVS to pick up some pads or tampons. She looks at me and asks if I have any money. I just started this job. I'm not carrying around money on me. No, I don't have money. She's like, okay, well, we're going to go home. You can get your money. Walk 30 minutes back up to the store to get your products that you need for your feminine hygiene to then walk back home to put those items on. This woman didn't love me. She was brainwashing me to become the child she wished she had from birth. That was robbed from her because of her rapes that she experienced when she was younger in life. I was born under the name Mary Leah Boucher. She changed my name to Nevaeh Tenese Leah Smith. She got that name tattooed on her. She wanted so badly for me to be her child, but the truth was, you got me at about the age of 9, 10. I'm not your child. I will never be your child. I've already experienced so much throughout this life. You think you're just going to be able to mold me into what you want? And she did a good job. I didn't have a sense of identity. When I was living with her, I was very lost. I was very sad. I was an angry child. I got in trouble so much in middle school that I was on the cusp of going to an alternative school. But because she didn't want that to happen, because it would look bad on her image, she moved to another district so I could go to a different school and have like a brand new slate. Guess what? I wasn't well behaved in that school either. When I got to high school, you think I was well-behaved there? The whole time of me living with her, I was on the brakes of almost going to alternative schools. It was the angels that God sent throughout my life that showed up in the ways of teachers or friends or random strangers that would give me enough foresight into the future where I would try my best to not be a bad child. What is a bad child? Would you expect me to be any different from the story that I'm telling you? Would you expect me to be an A student from the story that I'm telling you? Because my mother, my birth mother, Leah, was an immigrant. She couldn't teach me how to read or write because my father was in and out of my life, struggling with his own problems. He didn't teach me how to read or write. I had to teach myself in the second grade how to read and write. Does that sound like a student who's going to excel as they get older in life? Am I being loved on correctly, or is everyone just using my energy for their benefit? That has been my experience throughout life. The last mother is my stepmother. Moving back in with my father at 16, he was dating a woman who he ended up marrying, and I honestly think he married her because it's easier to raise a child, I guess. You get more benefits when you're married and you have a child. Because they got married as soon as I moved in with them. Ronnie is also a recovered addict. That's her name. And because of her own addiction problems, she wasn't there for her own children. She never knew how to be a mother. So by the time I got to her, she's seeing me as a 16-year-old adult. I had to get a job ASAP. I had to take care of myself as soon as I moved there. The clothes that I wanted, I would buy. If I wanted to get my hair done, I would have to get my hair done. I became an adult as soon as I moved in with them. I feel like my adulthood, my real adulthood, started at 16. I saved up, bought my own first car. I paid to get myself through school. This woman had no mercy for me in my past. She had no insight on the love that I so desperately needed. And so she just pushed for me to be a firm, strong, independent woman, which I now understand was very vital for my journey. But it is also so vital for a child to be loved by a woman that considers you to be her mother. Isn't it crazy that all these women are walking around saying, "This is my daughter," but are lacking to give me what a mother is supposed to give their child? Being a woman is the most powerful thing you can be on this earth. We are the literal portals between life and death. We are nurturers. We are caregivers. We have the strongest intuition. We know before anything even happens. I am very spiritually gifted. And I never had any woman to take the time to coach me, to show me, to love on me correctly. So I'm claiming my power and taking the liberty to reparent myself, that I am worthy. I see myself. I love myself. I am capable of having an amazing relationship and a successful career. It's okay for me to speak my truth. It's no one else's to own but mine. It is my job to take care of little Mary. It is my job to show up for little Mary like no one has ever showed up for her before. Not in the way of suppressing my emotions, not by drinking, by smoking weed, by begging to be seen in friendships that don't give a fuck about me, to overwork myself for a company that won't remember me after they fire me. It is my job to show myself just how powerful, just how worthy I am. If you didn't have a mother to show you love, self-love, I pray you take the liberty to do it yourself. And it is not easy. It is not pretty. But it is the most fulfilling thing I've ever experienced in this life. And little Mary could never be more grateful and more happy because of what I'm choosing to do for myself. Thanks for listening to my podcast, y'all. Stay blessed.